If you've caught the theme so far in the hymns that we've sung or the readings or the prayers, you've noticed that the theme is about sending of the Holy Spirit. It's because today is the feast day of Pentecost. It's supposed to be 50 days after Easter. It's the conclusion of the Easter season, in which now we move into ordinary time. And as I was sitting in the chair looking up at the windows, I guess I never really realized it, but the windows are in chronological order. They start with the Nativity over here, they go all the way around the church, and the last one is Pentecost, which we celebrate today. It's what we heard in the first reading of the giving of the Holy Spirit upon the disciples. Last weekend, if you were here at the 9:30 Mass, Bishop Monforton, who's a classmate of Monsignor Schumacher, preached the Mass. And he used the analogy of the training wheels are finally coming off for the disciples. And it seems to be even more applicable today on the feast day of Pentecost, because this is officially when they were sent out, or at least when they received the help to be able to go out on their own, that the training wheels were officially off. If you remember way back when you learned how to ride a bike, the thought of the training wheels coming off was quite frightening because you realized how dependent you were on them. I can imagine the same would be true for the disciples, that when they were following around Jesus, and Jesus was predicting his death, not only that, but he was saying that he's going to leave them, and it would be better if he would leave them, but he's going to send him an advocate. If Jesus kept saying these things to me, and I'm one of his disciples, I would start to get worried. I would start to say, no, it wouldn't be better if you would leave. I need you. I can't do this on my own. Kind of like when you're a little kid riding the bike and you realize how dependent you are on the training wheel. You're like, I need these training wheels. But Jesus kept insisting that it would be better if he would go, that he needs to leave. In the same way, once you graduate from training wheels, the next step is the dad runs behind the bike with his hand on the seat, making sure you don't fall. And the dad keeps saying, I'm going to let go, I'm going to let go, you have to learn how to do it without me. And the little kid is worried if he can do it on his own. But it would be better if the dad wasn't there. What's the alternative? That when the kid grows up, whenever he wants to go ride his bike with his friends, that his dad has to go with him, holding onto the seat? It's unrealistic. In the same way, Jesus was never going to be with the disciples forever. It wasn't his way. He came down to earth. He did what he needed to do. He restored this relationship, which was broken. He restored this relationship in which we celebrate at Easter time. And in order to remember that, in order to commemorate that, he developed this church, which secures his teaching, so we always know where he is. And then he was done. He wasn't going to be with us forever. Without a proper understanding of this church in like the universal context, not like a physical building, but the universal context of what it means to be a Catholic, without a proper understanding of that, then Jesus is just someone who came down to earth and then left without leaving us anything. But it's true, he did give us something. He gave us the church to remember what he did, what he taught, and to continue that message on. And if you're struggling to understand, you know, what's the big deal about Pentecost, try to imagine if it didn't happen. Imagine where we would be if Pentecost didn't happen. We hear in the gospel was not the account of Pentecost. It actually came before, is after the resurrection, before the ascension. What were the disciples doing? They were hiding. They were a bunch of cowards. They were hiding in an upper room for fear of the Jews. They thought they were going to kill them as well. They were hiding. Not only that, but at the crucifixion, none of them were there. John was the only one. They betrayed him. They denied him. They scattered. None of them were there. And then we expect these men, who can't carry that out, to be able to continue on the church. But the fact is, these men who were, quite frankly, cowards, went on to become the most prolific evangelizers and preachers that this world has ever known. Only because of Pentecost. Pentecost was the turning point for all of this, because he realized that he wasn't going to leave them orphans, that it was really the courage that they received through the Holy Spirit, the wisdom, the knowledge in which they were given, in which they were able to continue on that mission. Without it, they were just cowards in an upper room. But it was the Holy Spirit that Jesus gave, in which he promised not to leave us orphans, that allowed them to go out and do this. Now, there's a piece of artwork that helps me understand this. In Rome, there's a statue of St. Peter. It's a very famous statue. He's seated. He's holding keys. Peter's always holding keys because he was given the keys to heaven, Matthew 16. And his foot is completely worn away. It's a marble statue, but it's worn away of millions and millions of pilgrims coming to the church and touching his foot as a sign of a thankful pilgrimage to Rome. But if you look at his arm, he's holding the keys. He has his arm in a sling. Not because he was injured or because he broke it, because he can't hold the keys up by himself. This office of being Pope is something in which no man can do on his own. The ability to forgive sins is not something in the nature of a man. The ability to offer Mass is not in the nature of a man. But God, through the Holy Spirit, allows this to be possible so that his mission may be continued. So, if you're thinking, okay, that's great, this is a good story, but what does Pentecost mean for me? What's the whole point of this? The first is that the same Holy Spirit that came to them is also available to us. That we don't have just 12 saints in the church. Mary was there also, right? Judas wouldn't have been there. We don't just have 12 saints in the church, but we have 2,000 years of men and women doing incredibly heroic acts for the church. And they were only able to do that through the influence of the Holy Spirit, through the continuing of it. And that same thing is available to us, if only we wish to receive it. The second point, and kind of my main point, is that if we want to be followers of Jesus, if we want to know who he is, if we want to come to love him, if we want to know who he is, then we have to know where to find him, and that's in his church. If we want to know Jesus, if we want to love him, we have to be able to find him, and it's in his church that he gave us. There is no good reason to ever leave the Catholic Church. There's no good reason ever to leave the Catholic Church. If you are upset because you see hypocrisy, if you see sexual misconduct of some of its leaders, if you get upset with that, that's all right. You can criticize it. But that's no good reason to leave the church. Think of St. John up there. St. John in art is usually depicted without a beard because he was the youngest one. He has his arm on Mary's shoulder. Think about what he was thinking in that room when Pentecost came. He's looking around the room. He sees all the other disciples. And you know what my thought would have been? My thought would have been, where were you guys? Where were you? You denied him. You betrayed him. You scattered. You weren't at the cross. I was the only one there. You left him. And now you want to come back. That's scandalous. John had every reason to leave the church. He was the only faithful one. He had every reason to leave the church, and yet he didn't. Why do you think John didn't leave the church? I believe, and I'm convinced, the only reason that he didn't leave the church is because of the Eucharist. That's the only reason. That John saw the Eucharist as this commemorative action of Jesus suffering, death, resurrection, restoring us to God. He saw the Eucharist as a memorial of this, and this needs to be continued on. This needs to be passed on. People need this. It's the only thing that makes sense. It's the only thing that makes sense why these guys would come back. The only thing that makes sense why these guys became such good men is because of the Eucharist. The Eucharist is the biggest reason of why we cannot leave the church. You cannot get it anywhere else. Nowhere else. You don't come to Mass to listen to a homily. If you want to listen to a good homily, you'd probably be able to find better ones online or on TV. But you can't get the Eucharist from your computer or from your TV. You can't get the Eucharist in any other Christian denomination. It needs to be here, in the Catholic Church. This is why we're Catholic. This is why you need to remain Catholic, is because of the Eucharist. During daily Mass, the priest doesn't even need to preach a homily. But what does he do every single daily Mass? He celebrates the Eucharist. That's what's important. If you listen to the prayers, if you listen to what we do, none of it makes sense. Why do we have gold chalices? Why do we make a big deal about this? Because of the Eucharist. It's the only thing that makes sense. And if you have a hard time understanding it, you're not alone. You're not the only one. It's a difficult concept to understand, but just because it's difficult doesn't mean that it's wrong. Just because it's hard for us to understand doesn't mean that Jesus was wrong. Was Jesus God? Yes. Then what he taught was correct. And St. John very affectionately wrote of what Jesus taught in John chapter 6. That's why he stayed, because of the Eucharist. That's why we stay, because of the Eucharist. So if you have a hard time understanding, that's something for us to pray about. Say, God, help me understand this. Help my unbelief. So on this Pentecost, let us be thankful that Jesus gave us his Holy Spirit, that he gave us his church so that we may know where he is, that he gave us the Eucharist so that we can always come to know him better, receive him. And let us be thankful that we will never be alone, that he never left us orphans.